welcome back to the Sketchpad Pod. I'm Alicia, and today I am joined by a very special guest, my mum, Annalisa. And I wanted to call this episode Manicures with My Mum, but actually, we're getting our nails done tomorrow. So this is more of a pre-nails prep session, but we're just going to chat and drink some beverages, and you can come along for the ride. So if you're interested, keep watching and let's get on with the video. This is where I normally do a clap and then I'll do a little like intro.
You can
thing.
Okay, I'll just sit here.
Love that. Hello, Mum.
Hi, Leash.
So, Mum, do you want to do a little, like, introduction, say a bit about who you are, what you do, apart from being my mum, obviously?
I'm Leash's mum. Hello. I what do? I write books for children, age about 7 to 10, fantasy fiction type things, quests, discoveries. Really enjoy my writing. I teach part-time in a local state school, 5-6-year-olds, which is fun and also exhausting. Yeah. I have two lovely, lovely spaniels, Rosie, who's 10, and Mabel, who's 1. I keep fancy hens, Pekin Bantams, Silkies, Polish Frizzles. I read a lot. I love gardening. To sound like a bit of a parent, but, you know, love my flowers and... Yeah. Do lots of walks and swim.
And we've got hedgehogs, did you mention?
Oh, we've got hedgehogs. Oh, this is a new thing. I am actually, for real, a foster mummy. It's my new
of
title.
All animals.
Of hedgehogs. We've got a local wildlife charity nearby called Hyde Style. I mean, I actually got one hedgehog from a different family called Morwenna about 6 weeks ago, and we've been like raising her as a family. And just recently I got a second hedgehog called Marilla, so we are all about the hedgehogs these days as well.
Yes,
as the spaniels and chickens.
Definitely.
Yeah,
great. Well, I think
that covers it.
That covers everything.
And overshare.
And I will leave Mum's Instagram down in the description below for anyone who wants to follow any avid children's
hedgehogs.
Fiction readers. Yeah. And
well,
for hedgehog content.
And books.
Books, dogs, chickens, all of that. I will leave it down below.
Chin chin.
Chin chin. I'm drinking gin.
White wine.
Mm. Very good. Well, today I wanted to chat about self-love and self-care, because I feel like that kind of goes with the theme of what we're doing.
It's very bougie.
Yeah. I think self-care is important. Doesn't necessarily have to be getting your nails done. I wanted to talk to you a bit about what your relationship has been like with self-love and how that might have changed over the years. I mean, do you have any first like thoughts on your like opinions on how important self-care or self-love is?
I mean, I do think it's really important. It wasn't so much a concept when I was young. It would probably have been seen as just a bit of an indulgence. And I grew up in Northern Ireland, and you know, self-love and all that sort of thing would have been quite namby-pamby, and you know, it'd be more like hard graft, come on now. I think as I've got older and, you know, with the busyness of life and as life moves on and so on, I actually think it is really important. Yeah.
Yeah. Growing up in Northern Ireland, that is obviously a lot different to probably my experience growing up here in the UK now. What would you say, like, the grandparents' kind of attitude towards self-love would be? Then.
I think, again, it's just changed along with time and, you know, society and everything. Because I don't think, you know, you just didn't have expressions ever like well-being or mindfulness or self-care or me time. I mean, these expressions did not exist. And, you know, I guess in different ways, my mum was the one from Northern Ireland, and she had a big family, and I think the kind of familyness was almost that they had, you know, the regular traditions and parties and all that sort of thing. But in terms of actually taking sort of time out for yourself, you know, it just wasn't a done thing, really. You had a holiday once a year, and that would be your kind of downtime as such.
And you went to boarding school when you were growing up.
Yeah.
Was that sort of environment quite strict or, like, conducive to that sort of, like, allowing you to have enough downtime or things
definitely
like that?
Definitely not, Lisa. No. Well, as you know, Grandma and Papa Nick worked overseas for 30 years. So that was the reason, really, that we went to boarding school. And because my mum and dad both come from big families, but my mum's family agreed to help support my big sister Siobhan and I and have us, you know, to stay at weekends and so on and so forth. Very strict all-girls boarding school. We had a quite formidable boarding mistress called Miss Finch.
Great name.
It is, but not at all like any Miss or Finchiness about the whole thing.
Makes me think of Matilda.
Yeah. It was. You know, when I went there when I was 8 and Siobhan was 10. And, you know, you're in these big dorms. It was all quite Spartan. You know, you had to be so strict about making your bed, hospital corners, only 3 things on your dressing table. If it wasn't right, it was all confiscated. And the bell went in the morning. You had to rush down to these stone bathrooms and matron would be there telling you to, like, get washed and da-da-da-da. So, yeah, no.
Yeah,
I'm glad those times are long gone.
Fair enough. I obviously went to a state school. I didn't go to boarding school, and I think my school was interesting in that it started doing some form of, like, philosophy for children.
Very progressive, Lisa.
Yes, I know, so progressive. But I think still at that kind of age, there is a little bit of learning to have a bit more of a thick skin, and everyone's going through, like, so much with not only lessons but, like, friendships, relationships, and like, just growing up in general and seeing yourself change. So I think that age can be quite difficult for self-confidence.
You know, and I didn't go to a co-ed school, so, you know, having that whole other dimension and all the kind of the good and the bad that goes with that, you know, quite different.
Yeah. When you were younger, what were the sort of ways that you would let go and have fun then?
It didn't really happen in term time as such. When we were in boarding school, everything was regimented for you from the moment you woke up till you were lights out. You were obliged to choose like 2 or 3 activities after school. So actually, Siobhan and I, my big sister and I, we both joined the film club, which was really good. I did swimming club. The film club was really good, actually. It was run by the history teacher, and he had a really obscure love of, like, old horror films and, you know, random things like The Brain. And now that I think about it, it was, like, quite odd. But we had lovely times when we were out for the weekends with, you know, our cousins, and that was really lovely, where you'd, you know, just be in a family atmosphere and, you know, have dinner together and watch TV together and that sort of thing. That was the really nice thing. Or then we went out to visit, to stay with Grandma and Papa Nick.
Yeah.
Usually at Christmas for 3 weeks and Easter for 3 weeks, and then Grandma would come back in the summer for a bit and Papa Nick would come back in the summer, and those were just like total contrast to, as you can imagine, Belfast. And it was just like a whole other world, you know, like sunny African remote places, and, you know, again, that sort of family time and board games and cards and no television or tech or anything like that, you know?
I mean, that aspect feels pretty similar to our family dynamic today.
Yes.
Because family traditions has always been like a big part of our household. And at Christmas.
Like it or not. Yeah. Ready or not.
And at Christmas and Easter, we all get together. And I would say that I feel like you're quite a family orientated person.
Yeah.
That's interesting with the swimming, because you took up swimming a few years ago again, didn't you?
Oh, I did actually. I love it. Really love it. I mean, I have to say, again, you know, I didn't so much love the swimming lessons in Belfast. I mean, Belfast is rarely warm, you know. And like any school swimming lesson and so on, it's a bit like... But there's something really freeing about swimming, I think. The kind of weightlessness and just being surrounded by water, I really love.
Yeah, I enjoy swimming. I don't get to do it enough, I don't think. I particularly always think of me and Honor going diving into the Welsh Sea.
Freezing! Yeah, I think Honor instigated that and dragged you in. I'm kind of really pleased that she did, you know. She always dragged you furthermore into the deep, deep, cold sea. But you had such a lot of fun. And I think after the first 5 minutes, you're just numb.
Yes, definitely.
But you have to go through that kind of barrier.
Yeah, we would play a game which is based on the song Love Story by Taylor Swift.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know, random.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but basically one of us would have to kneel down in the water.
I do remember this.
And sing the verse to the other person. And as soon as we finished singing, you would swap. So the other person would kneel down and sing the verse. But it just meant that, like, while you were kneeling down, you'd be blasted by these like waves coming in, so that was like, and you just get water in your mouth and like while you're trying to sing, it was hilarious.
I'm bringing my cushion with me.
Okay. Oh, I can finally have some olives.
Yeah, I know, I've been scuffing them all.
Me and Honor definitely have a bit of that like sort of fun sibling dynamic, which obviously I think you and Auntie Bonnie do have.
We're very close definitely, though. She was always, I think it was harder for her because being the elder one, and because we had to, you know, we spent 10 years doing trips to Africa by ourselves, and inevitably the responsibility was put on her. So she didn't get to be as carefree or anything, you know. Yeah, she was definitely always my, like, protector and go-to. Yeah, we're still very close. Love her.
Yes, I love her too. She's a great auntie.
She is.
But so how would you say then your kind of perception on ideas of like self-love and self-care are now in comparison to that sort of age?
I don't really know. I can't really chart the change per se. I mean, I know what I do now. There's a lot out there in the world that educates you and you find your answers and so on. But also at the same time, for me, like, the well-being thing is actually disengaging from the world, just the busyness and everything. You know, my go-to would be hiding under the duvet and reading stories and snuggling my spaniels and going for big walks and swimming. And I'm all about the stories, so whether it's like film or, you know, books or different things, that's getting away from reality.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, it's for stories, like whether it's films or books, is definitely a form of escapism, isn't it, in a way? It can provide some sort of like happy place, but
I think we're hardwired as humans to like the narrative and stories. I think that's what we're all about all the time.
Yeah, I think perhaps it's also about like looking to other people as inspiration, perhaps, or it's like narratives that perhaps you can place yourself
definitely.
In.
Definitely. Yeah, I'd agree with that, definitely.
But you also like a lot of fantasy books and like magic and things. Mm-hmm. Is there any particular reason why you gravitate towards like magic? And
no, I don't know. I just always, you know.
Because I remember you would read me a lot of like fairy books growing up. And we have like old books of like plant fairies.
The flower fairies.
Yeah.
And I would never deny that they weren't real.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like, who wouldn't want all that to be real? It's just like magical and amazing. I think also it is linked to probably my Celtic roots as well. I just love myths and legends and folklore and everything. Yeah, I just get really caught up in the whole thing. I mean, who wouldn't want it to be true?
Yeah.
I mean, it actually is true in my head.
Okay. Good. Well, I think also perhaps... I think that was a pigeon.
It was a pigeon.
When you're younger, you have that sort of free imagination, that kind of carefree enjoyment, and reading stories that take you back to that time, it's a bit of nostalgia as well, I think, in a way, isn't it?
I think it's probably the starting point. We moved to Ghana when I was 6, and we did school there by correspondence course for 2 years, and we were really remote in the middle of like nowhere. And once a week we'd go to Takoradi, the capital, and we'd have a swim, is all I remember, and we'd go to the library and get loads of books, and on the way home in the car, because it was quite a long drive, anywhere you go in Africa is like, safari, let's go, it's like hours and you just do it. But Papa Nick would sit in the back of the car in between me and Vonnie, and we had like warm bread from the bread shop, and he would just he'd make up these stories on the way home, and I loved them. And also we just read books. I loved it. And the very disappointing thing was, of course, before I went to boarding school, I'd read all of Mallory Towers and St. Clair's by Enid Blyton, and I thought it was all going to be like jolly good friendships and pillow fights and ginger beer, and the reality was sadly removed.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But we did have a degree of that, I suppose, with all the Irish family on the weekends. That, you know, really made up for it. Our Irish family were amazing.
Yeah, like, culturally, you had a really large mix of kind of experiences growing up with the Irish and then the like spots of African kind of as well.
It was all quite mixed up, really, and you know, it was a troubled time in Northern Ireland, which it was like late 70s into the 80s, so you know, it was a really troubled time. But I suppose you don't really realize that at the time when you're a kid, because that just is what it is, and it's only when you leave later and look back on it that you're like, oh, that was, you know, you don't realize the things that you've picked up and noticed along the way and so on.
Yeah, because obviously your faith and our family's faith is a big part of, I'm sure, your upbringing, and is still now. I wonder whether that as well perhaps touches on kind of the ideas of like self-love at all, do you think?
I think it's true that I found it very hard to love myself for a lot of years. I don't know if that's, I think in some ways that's not an uncommon thing as you go through teenage years, and I didn't have any sort of faith at all, and I found the whole religious divide in Northern Ireland very confusing. I was just found it, you know, annoying and and heartbreaking type of thing, and I just thought it's too insular, and if there is a God would be way bigger than all of this, you know, rubbish that's going on, and so on and so forth. I felt very against a lot of so many things, and it was a very conflicted sort of time, so I found it very difficult to kind of accept who I was. I found boarding school hard, I found lots of friendships hard, and it really took me into my 20s, you know, to sort of acknowledge in some ways that actually, given everything that was going on in life, you know, it was fine, and you're fine, and this is how you are, and how you react is just how it is, and you know, but it takes a long time, because, and I think it's the same or even worse maybe for young people growing up because of social media and everything out there, and you keep thinking you should be, but actually it's about eventually being like, well, this is who I am.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I, obviously we've been talking recently, and I've decided to take a break from Instagram for a couple of days, because I think you're right. I don't think it's the same. I mean, it obviously you can't equate it to like stuff like the kind of troubles in Ireland at the time growing up and those kind of bigger world issues. I mean, COVID obviously we could definitely talk about, but like but social media, it's, what's the phrase, it's comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes, so true, so true.
Yeah, and I definitely find that I think there is this competitiveness with social media, and it's like you said, it's like, oh, I could be or I should be this, and you have to find a space of quiet within all of the like the noise going on online to figure out what you want, and also to feel like whatever pace in life you're going at is okay.
You know, the thing is as well, I sometimes feel like I learn the same lessons over and over. You know, because I know about the taking a break. I think slow is good. I think taking the time for thoughts and, you know, not doing the whole compare, oh, da 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 da, you know, we know that exercise is good and meditate, all these different things, yoga and da da da. And you go along that road and then something knocks you off it. And then you come around to it again and again.
This like lockdown period has been interesting definitely. In that sense that I think definitely at the beginning we were all like, oh wow, we're gonna have so much time on our hands to either it's like be productive or finally get that like rest that you've been waiting
yeah.
for. But it's
I made that
almost...
list of all the things I was gonna do and there's still like a couple of things on that list
yeah.
which I've realised I'm never gonna do.
Fair enough. No. I think that's the thing, isn't it, though? It's for some reason we were setting goals for ourselves at a point where really we had no idea what was going to happen.
And that was like a pressure, wasn't it? You know, but again, it's that thing of like, oh, there's people out there learning Greek and, you know, whatever, inventing things and setting up their business. And then I love the people that just keep it real, you know. And I teach part-time. And, you know, there's parents out there who were just checking off their tick list and really on it. And there's the others who was like, do you know what, there's raspberry jam and toast on the floor, and if my kids are up by lunchtime, and if we can just stay alive and have a shower once a week, we're winning, you know.
Yeah.
So I sort of love the contrast.
And
I love
think,
it people
I think,
keeping it real.
Yeah, it was almost kind of like a training in how to slow down, how to stop.
I think it really makes you think about what you can do without.
Yeah.
And so many things I really loved not having to like constantly rush and the like diary meeting and time management and I'm going to be this it was just like, you know, for the, even week 5 I was like, are we really doing this still, you know? And so parts of it were joyous for me. Sometimes I can be quite like the whole world and people annoy me, so I was like, great, I don't have to deal with all of that road rage and traffic.
So what do you think you're gonna like take away from lockdown, as it were, that you can then
I don't know, Alicia. Do I need to?
No, you don't.
Do we need,
to
identify things? No, it's just, if anything, it's like, you know, it's if I had like a really serious illness and recovered from it. It's like the whole COVID thing is a huge life thing. It's like, so what are your truths that you have learned? What is the wisdom?
Yeah.
And in some ways it's like, well, nothing. It's just reinforced the things I already knew, you know, that my family is important. I like to connect with nature. I am all about the stories. I want to write more. It just reinforces the truths that we know,
I think. I mean,
and
those seem like pretty fundamental things.
You know, we just get distracted all the time. That's a problem. And it can't be helped, you know. You know, it just can't be helped. There's so many demands on our times at different points in your life for different reasons. And sometimes you have to just do what you have to do to get through the day. And other times you can be a bit more like self-actualized. Holy grail.
Yeah.
That's a nice colour.
It is a nice colour. I'm doing blue because I'm planning on going for blue on my nails tomorrow, I think.
Oh, this is going to match in with your new acid wash jeans that are coming.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited, honestly. If you haven't watched my wardrobe declutter, definitely go check that out. But I think I did that almost as a way to clear my head as well.
Yes.
You know, it's like the less... I was listening to a podcast today that was basically saying a similar thing. It's like the less things I own, the less... clutter I have almost in my mind.
I know what you mean, but Leisha, at the end of the day, you're never going to be a minimalist.
No.
You're an artist, you like colour and richness and texture and variety, and I mean, honestly, you've got bits of rusty metal on your art desk and bits of shell and bits of lost and found and interesting things. So,
maybe.
You know, it's good to have timely declutters. Didn't you convince yourself that you're going to be all like zen and live in clear white space?
You're probably right.
I know I am.
In some ways, stuff
I went in honours room the other day.
You did?
I had to pop over and do some
jobs
in the house.
Because her room is either, it's like really tidy, aesthetic, lovely, or it's...
No, it was that.
Oh, okay.
And I was like... honour, sorry, I just went into your room uninvited. But I had, they're on holiday, so I was checking the house, is the thing, and the chickens and everything. It was lovely. It was really restful and nice colour palette and well chosen, like, pieces and photos and all that sort of thing. It was very nice. You know, it's the sort of thing I'd aspire to have.
But I would say it is sort of an illusion that, like, I think Anna won't mind me saying this, but she will one moment have the most, like, tidy, dreamy, aesthetic room, and then, like, the next day you'll go in and, like, her entire wardrobe
there
will be
go.
On the floor.
Metaphor for life right there.
Yeah. I mean, although those superficial kind of acts can, like, help perhaps in the short term, long-term, like, self-love is not about just, like, getting your nails done or...
No, I think it's knowing... what's important to you and keeping the main thing, as I like to say sometimes, even weekends or downtimes or, you know, this sort of thing, when you've a chance to just kind of like reconnect and just get rid of stuff and just remind yourself. And you have lots of times in life when you do that. I mean, when Norman and I go on holiday and we're driving off somewhere in the car, our first hour and a half conversation is all about, like, so jobs we've done in the house and jobs we need to do in the house, and we have a whole, like, thing, and then we actually get on the holiday and forget all about it. We're like, oh, nice.
Yeah, you're getting that clear.
And then on the way back in the car is often that, like, so slightly refocus on those jobs we talked about. You've got to enjoy the journey, as they say.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me, Mum. And this has been lovely, very informative.
I'm sure not.
If you like this video, don't forget to like and subscribe down below. And if you would like to see more interview style videos, you can leave me a comment as well. That'd be great. Thank you, Mum, and thank you, viewers. And I will see you in the next video. Bye.